God has led now in our Sunday school time for the next bit of time. I don't know how long, but we'll see how long the Lord leads. We just finished our series on sanctification, and we took several weeks to talk about what it is, and I hope that that's helped you and challenged you. I know it has me, because again, sanctification doesn't matter if you've been saved for 5 minutes or 50 years. It's a continuing process that God is doing in and through us, and I'm thankful for that. Now, the parables. We're going to begin a series on the parables. I've had you turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be reading there in just a moment. But I know that many of you possibly have read about the parables. You've read the parables, in the Bible. And I just want to give you a couple of introductory statements, and then we'll read our text as to the parables and what they are. The first thing I'd like to just mention by way of introduction is that the parables of Jesus Christ help us to understand the teachings of Jesus Christ. And, of course, they are all from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they are given to us. We sometimes use things like the word, like an illustration. And that would be maybe how we would say things today. This, let me give you this illustration. And far greater than our illustrations as human preachers are Jesus Christ's parables. And so they were to help us to understand. And so the second thing I'd like to give you is that the word parable itself, it means this, to cast alongside. To cast alongside. And so that's why we could say that they're like our what we call illustrations. They're stories that help us to understand a spiritual truth. Stories that help us to understand a spiritual truth. And so the emphasis isn't necessarily on the story. The emphasis is on the truth. And you know, that's the way all of our preaching and teaching ought to be. Nothing wrong with using illustrations, but, you know, a message needs to be filled with the Word of God and then maybe have some illustrations here and there to come alongside, much like Jesus did here in His teaching throughout His 3+ years of ministry, to emphasize and to highlight the truth, not to overtake the message. You know, a story should not overtake a message. No, the message should be what overtakes us. The truth of the Word of God should be what is lifted up, and it is what changes lives. You know, my illustrations and some a teacher's illustrations, they are good, but they don't change lives like the Word of God changes lives. So, parables of Jesus Christ help us to understand His teachings. The word parable means to cast alongside. They are stories that help us to understand the spiritual truth. All right, let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 now, where the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." This first parable that we're going to look at, we've entitled it, "The Hearers and the Doers." The Hearers and the Doers. Heavenly Father, now I pray that you would take this lesson and help us to listen attentively, help us to not only listen, but to apply it to our lives. Thank you again for these parables that we can learn from even today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many of you, when we read that text, immediately went back to Sunday school? In your mind, you went back to Sunday school or junior church, and you began to hum a certain song. You see it there? In verse number 24, the wise man, and in verse number 26, the foolish man. How about we sing it together today, class? All right, here we go. Ready? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Are you doing the hand motions? The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. And we'll fast forward ahead, and what happened to his house? The house on the rock stood firm. But the second part says, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And what happened? When the rains came down and the floods came up, his house went splat. Why? Because he was a hearer and not a doer. The wise man's house, it was firm on the rock. Amen. We talked about the rock here this morning in Sunday school, in our men's meeting. And why? Because that man, the wise man, not only heard, but he did something. He followed through. And so I'm sure that many of you remember that song, and I hope you sang along. You might even still be singing along. So build your life on the Lord Jesus. Okay, all right, enough. Here we go. So according to this verse, according to these verses that we read a moment ago, we find something that is consistent. Here is what it is. One thing is consistent about these men and about all of us today. Here it is. Think about this for just a moment. Everyone is a builder. Pastor Turner, I'm not a builder. No, you're a builder. I've never built anything. You're building something right now. Every one of us that are listening right now to this broadcast, every one of us in this service, every one of us that are listening after the fact, I want to challenge you. And for this statement, because of what Jesus said, we can rest assured you are a builder. Every one of us are building. The foundations are different, possibly, but every one of us is building. I want to encourage you today with that. I want to challenge you today that we find two examples of builders in these verses of Scripture. And I'm greatly challenged by that. Because at the end of verse 23, notice what it says if you skip back up one verse from what we read. At the end of verse 23, the Lord Jesus Christ makes a statement that brings about great finality. Notice what he says. And then will I profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. I never knew you. Now this text of Scripture that we read, verses 24 to 29... relate to this statement because verse 24 starts with what word? Therefore. Okay? This word always connects with what was said previously. And so, therefore, we connect back with verse 23. It connects it, the parable, with what takes place. Now, let's go back to verse 21 for just a moment. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done, notice these three words, many wonderful works. Many wonderful works. If what we have done or what we are doing is on the wrong foundation, it will not bring about the desired results. It doesn't matter how many wonderful works I do or you do, if they're not built on the right foundation, the rains are going to come down, whether it's the rock or the sand, the rains are going to come down, and if it's not built on the foundation, then what is built on the sand is going to fall flat. I want to encourage you today, I want to challenge you today, the foundation must be considered. I would submit to you today that many people over these last 10 to 12 weeks, their life is being pushed around in the storm. Why? Because the foundation is sand and not the rock. Now, I'm not saying today that my life hasn't been pushed around. All of our lives have been pushed around, I'm sure. Everything, topsy-turvy, everything has changed. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if I'm building my life on Him, then I tell you what, we'll sway to the right, we'll sway to the left, and we'll just leave it out. I just thought about something else I could say. But anyway, we're not swaying, all right? We don't sway in church, all right? But we can get pushed by the winds of conflict and the winds of doubt and discouragement. But because our foundation is the rock, we can stay firm. It is vital. This parable has several things that are the same. We said earlier, this isn't the outline, but we said earlier that everyone's a builder. Everyone's a builder. Don't forget that. Everyone is a builder. Notice what else we see that is the same in this. There is the same rain, there is the same flood, and there is the same storm. It's the same. It's the same for the guy that built on the rock. It's the same for the wise man who built on the rock and for the foolish man that built on the sand. These are the same. In other words, when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not escape storms. When we submit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not escape the floodwaters. When we trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we trust and obey, we do not escape the rain coming down. We do not escape the illness. Hey, people that follow Jesus Christ get sick and die. We that follow Jesus Christ get cancer. People that follow Jesus Christ have hardships. It's part of life. The Lord allows it. This is what we learn. This is a truth that we learn in this parable, is that there's rain, flood, and storm on both foundations. But we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have a refuge in the storm. We have a shelter in the time of storm. Aren't you glad for that? Jesus is a rock. He's the rock in a weary land. He's the shelter in the time of storm. I would imagine looking at the houses, there would have been no indication that one was destined for destruction and one was destined to survive. Normally, when you look at something, you can't see the foundation, correct? Now, in some ways, you can see the foundation. Now, I'm not going to say that in every building, but most of the time, we don't. Our eyes aren't focused on the foundation, are they? No, our eyes are focused on the house, you know? And, well, I tell you what, we saw a little documentary this week on YouTube, and it's like 8 years old, but it was the auction. It was the auction presentation for Michael Jordan's mansion that was being sold like 8 or 9 years ago in a Chicago suburb. I'm telling you what, nobody would walk on that property and say, let me check the foundation out. I mean, why? Because there was so much. And it didn't even sell, by the way. I looked it up afterwards. Didn't even reach what it was asking for. Just an unbelievable property. You know what? You can have an unbelievable property. You can have an amazing structure. But if the foundation is weak, if the foundation is not proper, then the storm will come, the winds will come and wreak havoc on that. And so, no, I don't think by looking at this, it wasn't that one knew, okay, this is going to be destroyed and this one isn't. No, the materials used might have come from the same lumber yard. I don't know if they had a lumber yard, but let's just use our spiritual, biblical imagination. Both guys might have built their house with the exact same material. What changed? What was the difference? The foundation. We have many religious people today who walk around Canada, walk around the world. Maybe you're watching from another country today. We have many religious people that walk around and they look like they are ready for eternal life. Many of them may be in Baptist churches. They look like they're ready to go to heaven. Are you with me? They carry a Bible. They sing the songs and hymns and spiritual songs. They might even still put on a tie when they go to church. That's a miracle, isn't it? Amen? I'm just teasing. I'm just saying, when you look at somebody, many people today in the local church, even Baptist churches, even independent Baptist churches, they have everything that looks like they're ready to go to heaven. But wait a minute, can we look at someone today in a suit and tie and say, he's ready to go to heaven, and look at somebody in a ripped up t-shirt, ripped up pair of blue jeans, and say, he's not ready for heaven? Of course not. Of course not. Because it is very possible that someone today who is going to a local independent Baptist church that believes the Bible is the Word of God, the church, I mean, believes this and does everything externally how we think they ought to, may be headed for hell because they've never dealt with the foundation, building their life for eternity, that is, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, wow, think about that. All religions come down to two words, and you know what they are if you've been at Anchor Baptist Church. All religions boil down to two words, the word do and the word done. The word do and the word done. This passage that we're studying this morning comes at the conclusion of the great Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon probably, well, definitely ever preached, because all of the sermons that Jesus preached were the greatest sermons. Looking forward to that day when we can sit at Jesus' feet in heaven and praise the Lord for how he preached and how men of God that came after him in the Bible preach, and even men of God that have influenced my life, and to God be the glory. But this is where this is coming. So let's look at three things by way of this parable today. And let's get into this. Number one, we're going to see the person speaking. The person speaking. Look, if you will, with me at verses 28 and 29. And it came to pass when, what's the next word? Jesus. I definitely underline that in my Bible. I'd circle that in my Bible because that means something. I remember an old commercial years ago where I was from said, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. I don't know if it was insurance or what it was for. I can't even remember now. But I just remember hearing that over and over again. But you know what? Far greater than E.F. Hutton and far greater than Pastor Ben Turner and far greater than your pastor and far greater than the evangelists that we heard and all the missionaries that we heard is what the Bible says here in Matthew 7 and verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. Jesus was the preacher. Jesus was giving these parables and Jesus was giving the wonderful words of life. And the Bible says that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. You know, the scribes obviously didn't have a whole lot going for them. Or no, they may have, but they just didn't have the authority that the very Son of God would have. The Lord Jesus always spoke with authority. I want to submit to you that he spoke with authority, but not harshly. He spoke with authority, but not harshly. The Lord Jesus Christ would draw a line where a line needed to be drawn, and he would not back down. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, when he preached, good was good and evil was evil. I'm so thankful for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ stood on the foundation of the Word of God. Oh, we live in a day where it's quite a bit different than that. I'm not necessarily speaking right now about pastors and churches. I'm just speaking in general of the day in which we live. And that type of mentality was there too in Jesus' day. Would you go back with me to the book of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 5, please. And let's just see what the prophet Isaiah has to say. You know this verse. Many of you have read it before. Isaiah in chapter 5 and verse number 20. We have a warning from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 5 and 20. Bible says, woe unto them, warning, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Notice, I wasn't going to read verse 21, but it stands out to me as I'm reading. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Oh my, here's a great warning. Woe unto them that call evil good and evil and good evil. We're living in that day today, aren't we? We can speak with authority. We can speak with authority as we speak the Word of God. In other words, we've been using this statement for many years at Anchor Baptist Church. It's not really what I believe. This is what I believe. As we talk to people or communicate with people, it's this is what God's Word says. You see, Jesus spoke with authority. I am limited. I am completely limited when I speak in my authority. Okay? You understand that? My authority and your authority, I'm talking, now, humanly speaking, we don't have the authority that Jesus had. However, we have the authority right here. We have the Word of God. So as we speak with authority, we must speak the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. A clear distinction is made in this parable between those who hear but make no changes. You see that? Both of them heard. Some changed, others did not. Let's not be too critical. It's always easier to find fault in others. No, today, I want to challenge you. Don't look at your neighbor's house. Don't look at your neighbor's apartment. Don't look at your neighbor's condo. Don't look at your neighbor's home. No, friend, let's look into the mirror of the Word of God and see, where is it that I'm building my life? And where is it that I'm building the house that God has given me? Who am I listening to? Hey, who are you listening to? Who are you allowing to influence you? These people were sitting at the feet of the greatest source of knowledge and wisdom that you could ever sit at, the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. What greater place to be? We today, think about it. Now, I know this is going to sound, and I know I've said it before, the Bible even talks about it, that we have a more sure word of prophecy. I heard this morning on the way in. Pastor Sexton was preaching. He said when we listen to the very words of God. You know what? We have the Bible, don't we? I have multiple copies. How many copies of the Bible do you have there in your home? I'm sure you have more than one, most of us. Point is, not how many Bibles do we have, but how much are we obeying the Bible that we do have? How much are we listening to the one who is speaking? Number one, we see the person speaking is none other than Lord Jesus Christ. And let me encourage you, He still speaks. God is still speaking today. I'm telling you what, there is no greater day to be alive than 2020, May 31st. I am thankful to be alive on this day in history. I am thankful to testify today that God spoke to me today. Yeah, He did. You know what? You know what? And I can say that because I opened this book up right here and I said, God, speak to me. And you know what He did? He spoke to me. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. I don't have any greater access to the Father than you do. Unless you're not saved, you have no access to the Father. If you're saved today, you have the same access that I do. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so much that He wants to speak to me about from His Word. There's so much that He wants to speak to me about from the lives of other individuals even. There's so much that God wants to speak to me. I need to listen. Number one. You need to listen. Number one, the person speaking. Number two, the principle stated. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24, please. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings, underline those two words, these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. I kind of jumped into this a little bit just a moment ago. We're emphasizing the words, these sayings. The foundation is built as I hear God's word. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. It's all right. We could do good to hear that verse every service. Faith cometh by hearing. Foundation is built as I hear the word of God, but secondly, the foundation is built as I heed the word of God. Hearing is step one, heeding is step two. We don't grow in grace without hearing and heeding. Heeding meaning obeying the word of God. The heed means to obey, to pay attention, to follow through on it. We have all sorts of sayings right here, all right? I want you to take your Bible. You have your Bible there. Maybe you're looking at it on an electronic device, nothing like having a Bible. I tell you what, get a hold of the Bible, all right? Once you open your Bible up, all right? We haven't done this, I don't know, last time I did this, so it's been a long time. I want you to find in your Bible, everyone I think has one, all right? That's not what I was looking for. Well, okay, that's fine. I want you to find the beginning of the Bible. Mine has them in order. Are yours in order? That's right, that's what it is, sorry. The names and the order of the books of the Bible. Do you see it right there? Do you have yours? All right, I've got mine open right here. And what do we have? The books of the what testament, class? Old Testament, okay? Testament means covenant, okay? So that's the Old Covenant. And a lot of that, the Genesis all the way down to Malachi or Malachi, depending on how you pronounce it, I think it's Malachi, that's written for all of our benefit. You don't have one, Brother River? I got to get you a new Bible, man. Come on. He doesn't have the list. Oh, my goodness. I didn't think I had it for a minute. Maybe yours doesn't have one either. Anyway, sorry. I keep forgetting we're on live and I can't rewind any of this. Where was I? See, I lost my train of thought being funny. Okay. Written to the Jewish people, but it's for our benefit, okay? That's the Old Covenant. And then you have the second part of the Bible is called the New Testament or the New Covenant. And that's God's covenant to Jesus Christ, but then onward to the local church, okay? And so you notice all of these books Like in mine, it tells me how many chapters. Isn't that interesting? You know what we discovered on our 8 Minutes at 8 the other night? We were doing some Bible trivia. We discovered the shortest book of the Bible. You know what? My guess would have been wrong. My first guess would have been wrong. And I'll let you try to think about that for just a second. The short. Now, there's several books of the Bible that only have one chapter, but one book of the Bible is the shortest. But anyway, what I'm saying is get to know your Bible. Get to know the divisions of the Bible, the law and the prophets, the minor and the major, and books of poetry, the Gospels. When somebody says the Gospels, you ought to know right away that that's talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just right away, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the Gospels. And these are the sayings that God wanted you and wanted me to have. Now, believe me, God has said a whole lot more than what's here in this book. But this is what God wanted us to have. This is inspired, meaning it is God-breathed. The sayings of God, right in this book, breathed by God. It is infallible, meaning there's no error. There's no error. I'm telling you, there's errors in everything. We can find errors all kinds of times, but not in the Word of God. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. It's infallible. There's no errors. It's timeless. You can read the Word of God in the 1700s, and you can read the Word of God in 2020, and it's alive as well. This book's alive. We'll talk about the church being alive as well later on. And so, the Word of God, these sayings. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. And by the way, learn where the books of the Bible are. Learn where the books of the Bible are. 1 Corinthians is not at the beginning of the Bible. It's toward about two-thirds of the way through the Bible. And I'm not poking fun if you don't know where it's at. But it's time to start learning. Where are these books of the Bible? And so that you can find them. And you want to learn where are some key verses in the Bible? Oh, let's say if somebody came to you and said, how do you know, listen now, how do you know that you're going to heaven? Could you actually take somebody with your Bible and show them one verse? One. There's a lot more than one that would show them that, but one. That would show them how you know you're on your way to heaven. See, it doesn't work to say, well, you know, Pastor Turner, he told me this. No. Praise God if Pastor Turner told you the truth. And that's what Pastor Turner always wants to do, is tell you the truth. When somebody says, how do you know you're on your way to heaven? Well, I walked forward in the church one Sunday. No. No, it ought to be, let me show you right here. This is how I know I'm on my way to heaven. Romans 10:13, take any of those verses. Ephesians 2:8-9. Titus 3:5. I mean, boom, boom, boom. On and on it goes. John 3:16. John 3:36. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none given among men whereby we must be saved. What I'm trying to say is, this is the sayings. This is the principle stated. These sayings. We need to know our Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I gave you time to find it there. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The foundation is not a person. Is not a structure or a building material. The foundation is a person. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You see, that's when we're going to know the difference between who was built. Everyone's a builder. Wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. What are you using? You're using one or the other to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ is where we need to build it. If we are building our life on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will believe that His Word is final, true, and forever. If we are building our life on the Lord Jesus Christ, yet it may take time, it may take patience from the Lord, definitely to me, but I want to be completely submitting myself and obeying the Word of God. I build by hearing and doing. I don't need new ideas. You don't need new ideas. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. Get the new look from the old book. And it's God's Word. Get the new look from God's Word. New ideas. Don't need them. No. Yes, we have new methods. This is a new method. staring into this beautiful camera right here today. Looking into your living room. I can see you right there. And I'm so thankful that we can do this. But this is not what we're saying. No, we're not going to use this method. But we're not preaching anything new. We're preaching the same thing that we preached over on Armstrong Avenue when we started over there, February 2017. We're preaching the same message that we preached at 9523 Cameron Street on June 3rd, 2001. Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. And He's the only way, the truth, and the life. And there's a whole lot more to it. But we keep lifting up Christ. We're preaching the same message. We're building on Christ. That is the person speaking, Jesus Christ. The principle stated, number two. And then number three, the promise made. You see it? Look at it in verse 24 and 25. See if you see it. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine... There we go. Are you listening to His sayings today? And doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Sounds a whole lot better than a foolish man, doesn't it? That's what I want to be, a wise man. Which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. Get hand motions today. And beat upon that house. House. And it fell not. There's the promise. There's the three words. Circle them. Make note of them. It fell not. Or it was founded upon a rock. Glory to God. Glory to God. It stood the test of time. Oh, it swayed. Oh, I'm telling you what, right now, I can tell you right now, my house has a few boards missing. Because there's been some winds that have come in my life, and that you could attest to this in your life. There's been some rains, and there's been some hail, and there's been some storming, and it's tore off some pieces of wood. It's tore off some siding off of my life. But I'm here to tell you, not by me, not by my might, but by the Spirit of God today, my life is still on the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the things I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. And I know that I've not arrived yet, but it fell not. Hold to that promise today. The promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. It fell not. Every part of the Christian life flows out of the right foundation. Every part of the Christian life comes from the foundation. If you don't start with the right foundation, the house is not going to stay up. It's going to fall. Oh, we have a merciful God. Praise God for that. I'm reminded of His workmanship in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility to walk in the way that God leads me. Where He leads me, I should follow. Where is He leading us today? Where is He leading Anchor Baptist Church today? I don't know, but we're going to follow. Sometimes you have to stand still. Wait for the next move. When the Lord moves, we move with the Lord. And He always leads us the right way. It is my responsibility to trust and obey. And I have a promise. It won't fall. Oh, I'll sway really over. You might stumble. You might trip. We will not fall. Why? Because our confidence is in our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. We follow His way. We follow His promises. We keep from falling. Look at verse 24 of the book of Jude. Would you turn with me there as we close? The book of Jude. And no, Jude is not the shortest book in the Bible. Did you figure it out yet? Those of you that were on the 8 minutes today, if you forgot, that's your fault. The shortest book in the Bible is 2 John. 2 John. And I would have said 3 John and been wrong. That's what I thought it was, but it's off by one verse. Now, you know what I didn't do? I didn't count the words. I think it's still 2 John. Look what it says in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 24. You find Jude 1? All right, here we go. Now unto him that is able to keep you from what? Falling. Can you keep you from falling? No. Can I keep me from falling? No. Can I keep you from falling? No. But Jesus Christ can keep all of us from falling. That's why we've got to build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what happens? The blessings will come down. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord. He will keep you from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a parable. The parable of the hearer and the doer. Where are you today in that parable? Are you listening to his sayings and not obeying them? You know what that is? That's foolish. I didn't say that. Jesus did. When he finished, they thought, wow. He's got some authority. You know what people need today? Truth. The source of all.